All right, that's enough. Sit down and be quiet. I want to preach, and I can't preach if you guys are shouting and hollering and all that stuff. Okay? Listen, every morning over in that little building over there at 7:30, we have to put up with these guys leading worship. So if you would come and help me bear my burden, I would appreciate it. That's my way of saying you are officially invited every morning at 7:30 in your sanctuary to worship God with us, with people from across America that are coming to Goldsboro to help you recover from Hurricane Matthew. Okay? That is kind of Bobby's theme song. Bobby's a guy that does not need a shave. He's a guy with a beard. All right, that's his theme song that we just sang, and I would love to see you show up and worship with us. And our volunteers aren't here because they're out working today. Amen. And you say, well, what about church? Well, they had a choice this morning, coming in here and coming to church, or going out there and being the church. Amen. So they're out there this morning. Some of our people are out there helping a school teacher in your school district who had 4 monster trees. If they fall on this building, they collapse the whole thing. And they're cutting it off their property with big equipment, chainsaws, and a lot of hard work. They're out there helping one of your school teachers today. And we're here for your community. And we want to say thank you because you people pay tithes. You people, pay offerings. It's not just so you can have an awesome pastor, and I like his wife more. And it's not so you can have a nice big screen TV. It's so you can have this facility here and open the doors for people to come in and make use of it. And I appreciate those of you who pay your tithe faithfully. I'm embarrassed for those of you that don't. Okay? I have 11 children. My wife and I, not me alone. And 10 of them are girls. I'm the mayor of Estrogenville. Ladies, pray for me. You know what you're like. And I interview every guy before they're allowed to take my daughter out on a date. That's it. My girls tell somebody they ask my oldest daughter when she was 30 years old, a man wanted to take her out on a date. She said, you gotta go ask my dad. He's like, say what? And you know what? If I would find out that young man is a known bank robber, Do you really think I'm gonna put my daughter in a car with him? Yeah. You have got to be on crack cocaine or something worse. No. Well, why would I put her in a car with a God robber? Amen. I asked them young men, do you tithe off the gross? If the answer is no, meeting's over. I'm not joking. You can ask the dogs. Okay? So if you're here and you're not tithing, you are robbing God. You're not saving yourself a plug nickel. You're not saving yourself anything except heartache. You're not even saving yourself heartache. You are robbing God. I would not want to be your God robber. Now, what else did you tell me to tell us? It was that. And something about the lottery? No. That wasn't about the lottery. I'm just serious. No. He did not tell me to say this. I say it because I'm an outsider, and I am really, and my team, we're really grateful to have, this is probably the nicest setup we have ever had, and we've deployed from California to Florida to New Jersey to Illinois and just everywhere in between. And this is the nicest facility and setup that we have. And Pastor said, anything to do on this property with disaster relief, you're the boss. I said, thank you. Thank you very much. And we have the full blessing of your city. And I told the mayor and the people that were there, I said, we do share the gospel with people. Amen. When we work on their property. Amen. We do. All right. And we pray with them. Amen. We do not force it on them, but we offer it up on a silver platter of service. Uh-huh. humility, and work. I said, I just want you to know that. And you know what your mayor said? He said, we need more Jesus in this town. Finally, somebody is politically correct. Listen, we have cards here. How many of you know somebody that was adversely affected by the storm? Wait, put your hands down. How many of you had damage in your house from the storm? Okay, we can help. We do not, listen to me, we do not rebuild your house. I am a Wreck-It Ralph. We tear it apart. We gut houses, we clean houses out, we get trees away and get it dried out, ready for the rebuild. Okay? So I'm a Wreck-It Ralph. We have cards here. We have hundreds of them. And it has a special hotline set up for this deployment. If you know somebody, there's an email address and a website and a phone number on here. If you know somebody that was adversely affected, you give them this card and tell them to get a hold of us. You do not promise them anything unless you're going to fulfill that promise. You just tell them, call them. They will call us. They will talk to us. We will send somebody out to meet with them. So get the sinners. And we will meet with them. And we will do an assessment on their property. Tell them what needs to be done. Tell them what we will do. And if we can do it, which there's almost nothing that we can't do. Okay? If we can do it, then we will put them in our work order, and we will go, and we will help your neighbor, your friend, whoever it is. And if they're not a believer, we will share Jesus with them. You've probably been praying for him anyway, and old Matthew came along and said, I'm going to help you answer your prayer. Amen. And then we also have a brochure. I call this the Glory Be to Me paper. It talks about Christ in action. We're really good at what we do, but we're just bad about bragging on it. But we have papers here, and we'll have them back there somewhere. We can get them to you. We're Christ in action. We're not Christ in a committee. We're not Christ sitting on the pew. You're in church for about 2 hours a week, and you're outside the church for 166 hours a week. And I think God is more interested in what you're doing outside the church than what he does in here. But we put more emphasis on our fake Christian smile, our Sunday morning facade, so that we can appear spiritual, holy, and all that kind of... Am I right?
Yes.
Not bad for a fat boy, huh? So what I want to talk about is stuff that goes on outside of this building. Okay? Now, this is just a sheep shed. There's nothing holy about this place. When the janitor walks out and locks the door, Jesus isn't here anymore. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. Now, this place has been set aside for God. But, of course, so have you. Okay? This church has been set aside for God. And I'll bet you there's at least two people in this room that would be upset if Pastor threw a beer party in here. Or if he loaned it out to some skanky little club to have some skanky little doodad in here, wouldn't he? Well, so then why is it so acceptable if we loan ourselves out to the world to have some skanky little doodad? Well, we have a little skanky little beer party within the temple of the Holy Ghost, huh? I hear some black ladies shouting, but I don't hear too many white guys. Collector, and he was rich. He probably was rich as Donald Trump. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him. For he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place where he was, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come on down. For today I must stay at your house." So he hurried, he came down, and received him gladly. When they saw that, they began to grumble, saying, "He's gone to be a guest with the man who's a sinner." I think that's how it sounded. And Zacchaeus stopped, and he said, "Lord, behold, half of my possessions, I'm going to give it to the poor. And if I have defrauded anybody, if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll give it back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost." Think about Zacchaeus. Think about it. He's a little runt. That's what he was. He was a little runt. His name meant righteousness, but he was known as a thief and a liar and a money hunger and a swindler and all those other things that some of us used to be. And this is on the path, the intersection where the roads come together, Capernaum and Jericho, and this is a chief trade route. And he wasn't just a tax collector, he was the head of the IRS for the area. He was a chief tax collector over other tax collectors. And not only was he crooked, but he crooked these people and made them people crooked and made them people crooked and made the common man pay for it. Where did I hear that before? Oh, the U.S. government. Yeah. And anyway, they're a bunch of crooks, and he's over all the crooks. And for some reason, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And when I said Donald Trump, you know, Donald Trump dressed in a nice fancy suit and stuff. And can you see old Donald shimmying up a sycamore tree? You know, rich man doesn't dress down. They dress up. They look good. I wonder what Zach's wife said when he came home and it was shredded. Yeah. "Zach, what have you been doing? What happened to your clothing? Who's this long-haired hippie behind you? What are you doing bringing a whole bunch of people to my house?" She probably ragging on Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, "Baby, I got news for you. And sit down and listen to me for once. This is what happened. I heard something about this guy from Bethlehem. I heard something about this Nazarite coming down the road." See, blind Bartimaeus was back here, way, way back, outside the back door and across the field, was blind Bartimaeus. And he's yelling, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." His eyes were open. See, Jesus, he was lying, begging for mercy. Uh-huh. And the disciples say, "Shut up, leave the Messiah alone. What's the matter, you boy?" And he wouldn't stop. How many times do we stop too soon? We listen to the crowd. We listen to, feels politically correct to shut up and leave Jesus alone. But it took the incorrectness of blind Bartimaeus. No, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to let that. And again, until Jesus said, "Hey, who you want, man?" He said, "I'm blind. I can't see." Jesus healed me. Amen. People talking about Jesus. Yeah. Talking good. Mm-hmm. Say, "Man, he healed blind Bartimaeus back there. Did you see that? Bartimaeus went through three of Jesus' top linebackers." He got in there. Jesus just, "Phew, you're healed." Well, Zacchaeus, like, "Whoa. I think we need to come up with a healing tax. Right. Maybe a miracle tax. Miracle tax. You heard miracle whip? Miracle tax. We're going to tax him." What else was he? Well, I don't know what all he was here. But there was something in Zacchaeus. He said, "I got to see this man. I got one chance. I can't try to get through the crowd. I'm a little guy. I'll never see him." And he just looked around. He saw the trajectory which way Jesus and the crowd was going. And he ran all up ahead. And he shimmied in his nice threads. He got up in the tree. And he's looking down at Jesus. And Jesus has this big crowd around. All these people present. Probably a bunch of blind people chasing Jesus. I don't know what was happening. But Jesus, he's sensitive to the Father. Jesus. He met Jesus, he saw Jesus, and there was a conviction of God on his heart. And then all the religious leaders, all the politically correct leaders said, he's going to go hang out with the sinners. He knows Zacchaeus has lobster with chitlins. They just started whining and pining like a bunch of theologians with their nose shoved in a book that needs to be shut. But Zacchaeus, he blew them all away. He just stopped. He said, hey, Lord, nothing else matters. I'm going to give half what I have for the poor. Out of the other second half, if I have defrauded somebody, I'm going to give it back four times. I'm done. Mm-hmm. What does the Bible say to do with repentance? It says to bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. For a rich man with ragtag clothing on, little squirt, little runt, nobody likes him. He's all about money. He's all about wealth. He's all about riches. He said, you know, I'm going to give half of it away. The other half, I'm going to divide up with these people. Does not his actions line up with repentance? Yes. Jesus didn't say, now you got to say this sinner prayer. I, Zacchaeus, am a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner, and I'm sorry. No. Jesus looked at his actions and said, dude, saved. This guy has repented. We're going for munchies at his house. We're going to go have wings and pizza at Zach's house. Right away. You see, Jesus, he was sensitive to the divine appointment. And Jesus was not focused on Zacchaeus' problems. He was focused on his potential. Not his potential in the flesh, but his potential in Christ. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't look at me and you and say, you sorry sack of whatever you are. I leaned over to Pastor and I said, your whole worship this morning, except that little girl on the piano, they all used to do drugs, alcohol, sex, rock and roll, and all that stuff. I used to be a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. And Jesus changed every one of our lives. Because he doesn't focus on our past. He doesn't focus on our problems. And that was just one family up there except for the tall guy in the end. That was husband, wife, and daughter up here playing. Because that's what Jesus can do with somebody to come down out of the tree and give it all up for Jesus. That's what Jesus will do when we fully repent. Now listen, he was sensitive to the divine appointment and he didn't focus on the past. He didn't focus on the problem. He focused on the future. You know, some of us say, well, I'm not that good. I don't know if God will use me. Oh, shut up. He will use you. If you wait till you're perfect, you're not going to be used till you're in heaven, and then it's too late. Your family goes to hell in a handbasket. He's not focused on your problem. You don't have to know more scriptures. Zacchaeus didn't know one single Bible, or all the Bible wasn't even printed yet. Gutenberg didn't even invent the press yet. He focuses on your future. And when you realize his love, his mercy, his compassion, to say, man, I forgive you. And you look in the mirror and say, I am one sad case. And he forgave me. You're not gonna have this, how much can I sin and still be called a Christian attitude. You're gonna have, Lord, search me and search my heart, know my heart, and let me know if there's any unclean ways. Jesus, help me today to die to my flesh. I can live for you. God, tell me something else that I can lay down for you. Tell me something else I can sacrifice for you. Give me another place, another opportunity to serve you. God, oh man, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Listen, April 3rd, it'll be 40 years ago, I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. racist. I did not like black people. I'm honest.
All right.
Cut the crap. How many of you black people used to not like whites? Oh, one honest lady. Thank you, sweetheart. I could feel the anointing from there.
I did, man.
No, but see, I had a good reason for not liking black people. Because they were black. What? Pretty good, huh? No, man, I was. I was lost. And April 3rd, and I was crippled. I walked with a brace in my leg. I had a work-related injury. They were going to amputate my left leg 2 inches above my knee joint. And April 3rd, 1977, in a barn in southeastern Pennsylvania. I mean, it was a barn. It didn't even look good. And there were about 300 old hippies in there doing this hallelujah stuff like you guys were. I felt like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I found myself up at the altar. People were kneeling down, and I got down on my one good knee, and then I just started just weeping. Yeah. Just, I mean, snot running out of my nose and weeping. We're talking, this is it. And I was a man's man. I was a barroom brawler, a tough guy. And that preacher came over, he said, what do you want? I said, I don't know. He said, do you want Jesus? I guess so. And him and another guy did something I was always taught you don't do. They held my hands, and I don't hold hands with boys. I was trained different than that. And I wanted to knock them out. But there was something he said, it's okay. This is okay. And they said, pray this prayer with me. And they had me pray. I don't even remember what I said, but I know what I said. You know what I mean? And I felt a peace that came over me, that no Quaalude, no PCP, no, I just never experienced that. And I stood up and I said, I had long hippie hair, and so I said, I got to sit down, I got a bum knee. They looked at me and said, well, Jesus heals crippled people today like he did when he walked on earth. Everybody knows Jesus heals crippled people when he walked on earth. I just didn't know the dude was still alive. Last I knew, they hung him on a cross, shoved him in the hole, and rolled a rock up. There's rumors that the stone was rolled away up from the grave he arose and all that stuff, but I didn't know. But it made sense to me. You see, I burned all my brain cells out on LSD, cocaine, smoking dope. There's a reason they call that stuff dope. You smoke it long enough, you'll figure it out. I have one brain cell left. I still do. He's just real busy today. Don't confuse me. Be nice, be easy. And I was dumb enough to believe that if Jesus healed crippled people when he walked on earth and he's still alive, hey, Vern, probably does. Duh. And they laid hands on me. And they anointed me with oil. Not this little dab will do you on the forehead. And they poured all this stuff out in their hand. They went, and I had grease running down my hair, down my face. I've never heard of Pentecostal people. Okay? Oh, yeah, you don't know how weird you folks are. You have no idea. I am sitting there expecting this guy to pray something over me, and he's swinging oil, giving me a full body lube job, and all of a sudden, everybody grabs me. They thought I was going to run away or something. They're going to hold me down. I know. Now, you call it laying on hands, but I'll tell you what, they grabbed me. And they went nuts. They started speaking in hieroglyphics. The men, think of God, they're gonna kill me. I'll do whatever you want. Spare my life. You know how weird you people are? Y'all calm down. And they started letting their hands off me like, you know, and I didn't wear glasses at the time, and I thought, I kind of wanted to open one eye and see if the coast is clear out there. I had no idea what was going on out there. And when I stopped, preacher looked at me and said, you're healed. I'm like, how do you know? He said, get up and try it out. The only way I knew I was healed or not is if I could walk without my brace. So I pulled my jeans up and undid my brace, took the straps off, and took the springs out, and just dropped it on the floor, and I just started to walk. Like this. Listen, I didn't feel anything. All I felt was women screaming in my ear, oil draining down my ears. I didn't feel no goosebumps or anything else that the Holy Ghost should do. I got up, and I took about 5 or 6 steps, and my leg just kept coming back under me. And I started to cry again. I thought, oh, here we go again. Because you know what? I knew I was stupid. I knew I was stuck on stupid. I knew I was addicted. I knew I was strong. I knew that I needed help. And this God that I had laughed at and mocked still cared enough about this drug-addicted young man to say, I love you. And I'm going to heal your crippled leg. You don't have to go through life a cripple. And I took off. Oh, that's not the good part. Stop it. I took off inside that barn, and I ran around the inside of that barn like a crazy man. Insane. Oil slinging, tears slinging, snot slinging, running. I didn't care. People clearing out of the way. Now, it was a regular altar call. There's other people up there getting prayed for doing this. But all of a sudden, here comes this weird man just running. I come around the far end. There's a board on 2 hay bales. I hurled it. I landed on that leg. I come up front. Now, I hadn't run in 2.5 years. And I'm standing there. And everybody's looking at me. And I said, well, what the blank you all blank looking at? God just blanking healed my blankety blank blank leg. My first thing I did was cuss the whole church out. You know what they did? Hallelujah! I thought, I'm gonna like these people. Then I went up to the pastor, and he goes, do you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? I said, what the blank is that? He goes, well, it's this thing from God. I said, from God? He goes, yes, I'll take it. He didn't tell me I'd be laying on the floor, flapping like a fish, praying in the hieroglyphics. I walked out of that barn. I got in my little Volkswagen Beetle, and I'm going down the road, and I'm just like, this is so driving under the influence. And I reach for a cigarette out of my sunbonnet, I put it in my mouth, and push a cigarette lighter in, I'm like, they said I'm new, I don't need these. Okay. Put it back in, I crunch it up, throw it out the window. Oh, that's God's earth out there. I began telling all my friends about Jesus, and they laughed at me, they mocked at me. Mm-hmm. 3 days after I was saved, I talked to Doug and Shelby, Doug Rohr and Shelby Gall. They were engaged to be married. They're my dope-smoking buddies. Mm-hmm. And they said, Nisla, you needed it. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not wild like you are. We'll get married, and maybe when our kids are grown, we'll settle down and just smoke pot. You know. And that night, Doug and Shelby were killed in an automobile accident. I saw it on the 11 o'clock news. How many of you remember when it was the 5 o'clock news, the 11 o'clock news? They didn't have this cable stuff. Back when you had to hold the rabbit ear so you could watch TV. And I wept. And God spoke to me. First thing he ever spoke to me, he said, you were the last Jesus they ever saw. And I was upset with God. I was pounding on the arm of my sofa, yelling at the TV. I was at mom and dad's house. They were Christians. And my dad came out. He said, what's the matter? I told him. He goes, I said, it's not fair. I don't know anything about God. I don't know the Bible. I don't know any of that stuff. It's not fair. Why didn't he send somebody that knew? And my dad so wisely said, then do you know Jesus? I said, well, I'm getting to know him, yeah. He said, that's all it takes. It's up to you to deliver the message. It's up to them to receive it. My dad walked out of the room, and I started crying again. I picked up the Bible. I was so intimidated by that thing. And I just fanned through the Bible, and I said, God, I will read this whole thing if it takes me the rest of my life. And tell me not to do, I'm going to do the best I can not to do. Mm-hmm. And you've got to fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. April 3rd will be 40 years. I have read the whole book. I am still trying to do everything he tells me to do. And I'm really trying not to do the things he tells me not to do.
Amen.
You know what I mean? That's what he asks. I ended up being a street preacher for 27 years. Carried a 10-foot cross that said in blood red letters, he died for you. All 50 states, 17 countries around the world, I preached to over 30 million unsaved people outside the four walls of the church, because that's where the sinners are. We have former drug addicts that are pastoring churches. I lived in Chicago, worked on the south side of Chicago for years. We got gangbangers that are pastoring churches.
Yeah.
We got former hookers that are teaching Sunday school because Jesus changes lives.
Yeah.
I've shared Christ with mafia hitmen, people that kill for a living. I have been shot at. I've had a knife stuck in my throat. I've been beat by prostitutes, beat by pimps, beat by gang members. Took a severe beat, probably the worst beating in my life from a police officer. Used to get beat by my wife, but we got counseling. We're doing okay now. I've been arrested 5 times. I have been in jail, honestly, more times for preaching the gospel in America than I was as a drug dealer before I knew Jesus, because hope is more dangerous than dope. Amen?
Amen?
And this is a man that has one brain cell that realizes that Jesus doesn't look at my problems. He looks at my potential in him.
Yeah.
Jesus will take a flawed and cracked vessel. We are cracked vessel. We are a cracked pot. And Jesus wants to use us. He does not want to use us inside this building. He wants to use us outside of this building. He doesn't want to use you because you're excellent. He doesn't want to use you because you're awesome. He doesn't want to use you because you're looking bad in your threads. He doesn't want to use you because you got education under your belt. He doesn't. While most people are working on their master's degree, I just want to fulfill my master's decree. I want to go into all the world. I want to preach the gospel. I want to reach the unreached. I want to see the people that don't know Jesus, because Jesus changes lives. How many of you have had your life changed by Jesus? How many of you want to give somebody else the opportunity to do that? Okay, today you have that opportunity to prove that you're honest or that you're a liar. Because we're going to be downtown today, aren't we, Pastor?
Yeah.
I'm going to go downtown today, and we're going to be right out there in front of everybody.
All right.
And somebody may accidentally get saved. Amen? Now listen, if you're in here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you think, wow, that guy's wild and crazy. You're right. I am. I'd rather be called a fool for Christ than a fool for the devil.
Amen.
Because I would be a fool for Christ, and you're fooled by the devil.
Amen.
And I know we're in a political season, but I'm more concerned about who's in the church house than who's in the White House.
Amen.
And this morning, we're in the church house.
Yeah.
And we can have revival. Listen, when the Berlin Wall came down, they went rushing in as missionaries to save a dying country, and they found out there was house churches and secret churches all over East Berlin, all over Russia. There's house churches. David's been to China. House churches that are thriving in China where it's illegal. And here in America, we have churches that are dying because it is legal. So it's time to stand up. It's time to be the church.
Yeah.
It's time to get outside the four walls.
Yeah.
It's time to say, I'm sorry, but you can't get to hell because I'm here.
Mm.
Uh-huh. You've got to go over to Fayetteville or something if you want to go. You can't get there from Goldsboro. Because
yeah.
Generation Church is here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I am a roadblock on the highway to hell.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen? I said, well, that's a haughty attitude. Yeah, I just think it's true. Amen? If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want you to see me, see Bobby, see David if you're a girl, see Cheryl, see one of these ladies that have been hollering hallelujah and stuff like that. Get to know him.
Amen.
He changes lives. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. All things become new. I just looked up the clock. I'm going overtime. Let's bow our head and pray.
Pray.
And then we give it back to the pastor. Father, we love you because you first loved us. And I thank you for this time where I get to share my heart with these people. Thank you that this church has opened their doors that we can come into this community and let people see our works and glorify you. God, help us to make you known this afternoon downtown as a church, as a believer, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And God, I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't have a personal relationship with you, that that'll change right now, this morning, in this place. And God, that you would do supernatural things in their life. And God, I know there's people in here with private pains, things in their life that hurt, things in their life that discourage them, things in their life that are holding them down. God, you said he who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
And that means we're free indeed. Amen. That means we are indeed free.
Amen.
And God, help us to walk in that freedom. Amen. Lord, bless these people. Bless this church. In Jesus' name.